Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to organizational health and the world of work. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, joined by almost the full crew. We got Tracy, Cody, and Bo in studio. How are you guys doing, guys?
We are here.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Awesome. All right. Matt's behind the glass. Karen is not here. She is not. So I'm flying solo. I have no wisdom coming my way. So we're going to wing it and see what I can do. Cody, what are we going to talk about today?
The episode is called Inside the Moat.
Inside the Moat. What does that mean? Well, that's a metaphor that we've been using to talk about our organization. And what we're going to talk today about is a kind of a new way to look at an organization or a company. And one that we think is a really helpful thing, especially in these times. We talk at our company, The Table Group, about that our company is kind of like a castle. And the people that are inside the castle work for the company. But then rather than have a moat that goes directly around the outside of the castle, our moat goes way outside it. And there's room outside the castle, but inside the moat for all these other people to live with us and hang out with us and be part of our extended company, if you will. They're not employees. And this isn't just a conversation about contractors and 1099 and all that stuff. There are probably a couple dozen people who are not employees of The Table Group, but they're vendors and partners of ours that we really think of as family. And so when we think about our footprint as a company and the kind of people that we want to love on, if you will, it's far more than just our employee base. And we think this is a new model that companies should be thinking about more and more, because far more people have their own businesses. And frankly, they don't necessarily want to work for a larger company. They like being a vendor, but they don't want to be feeling like an outsider. And so that's what we want to talk about today, is the various ways that we think about all these wonderful people that live with us inside the moat.
Pat, as you've described this metaphor, it's probably been about a year that we've been talking about our company this way. What are some of the benefits that you have seen of this kind of picture for us?
Well, for us, and we don't do this for the ROI, we love having cousins, if you will. They're part of the family, but they're not here all the time. And they do other things with other organizations, but we love the fact that they consider us like family. And so if you look at the benefits, it's that they are really loyal and enthusiastic about what we do. They're really generous with us around their time and their concern for us. And then we try to respond and be generous, not only in paying them well, but including them in things that in many other companies I worked at, people would not be included. So we see them as part of the family. And if their business is suffering, we'll help them with that. And if they see a need we have, they'll help us with that. And it just feels wonderful to be part of a larger thing than just the very narrow definition of what an employee is.
Yeah, there are times where we have thought, oh, maybe somebody who's inside the moat, it would make sense to hire them full time and bring them inside the castle. And some people have actually turned that down because they want to be connected to keep the metaphor going, lots of different castles. And I think that we really benefit from that. We benefit from contractors who are engaged with different companies or partners who are engaged with different organizations, because we benefit from their learning, from their relationships, from their insights. And then sometimes when we get, you know, 5 or 10 hours of their energy, we're getting their best energy because they're filled up and inspired from the work they're getting to do, you know, across the valley at the other castle.
Yeah. And, you know, we always assume people are like, oh, please give me a full-time job at your company. And I guess for years, that's how we thought of it. You know, everybody wanted that stability, but it's a different working environment today. And people like the freedom and they like the varied nature of what they do. And yet they do want to feel connected. So I think it's kind of the best of both worlds. And I do like what you said too, is they are like connectors to others in the world, where if they were inside the walls of our castle, we wouldn't benefit from all of their connections and all of their networks. So I think it really is a cake and eat it too kind of thing, as long as you're really upfront with one another and generous with one another.
Yeah. I'll add one other observation because I think in different seasons, before we even had this metaphor, you can kind of go back and realize, oh, inadvertently, we embraced some people inside the moat, or we had a transactional relationship with other people who felt more like outside the moat. And, even in one function, we've had marketing vendors for us that have been both inside the moat and outside the moat. And I would say one of the things that I've experienced because of that juxtapositioning is when they feel embraced like they're part of the team, that it feels like they're invested in your success and winning, not just from a, oh, I get to renew my contract, you know, because things are going well, but because of the impact that you're having. So it's less transactional and more impact driven and relational. And it's hard to put a price on that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Well, why do you think that is, Cody? What is it that's different about how we, you know, that it's not transactional? How is it that somebody would receive that we are more interested in just what they can do for us?
You know, it's interesting. I think that some of it is human behavior in some way, like where if you walk into a room and people are closed off to you, you are self-protective. You know, like you kind of close yourself off to other people in that room. There's a natural defense. And when people embrace you, you feel the same. You feel more open to embracing others. I wonder if part of it is that, but I don't know exactly what would, you know, like, and for example, the times of people in our moat, within our moat, is sort of like even including them in things that aren't directly related to the reason you hired them. You know, like we've had our marketing person come join us at a speech before because that felt like the right thing to do. And they just feel so loved and apart and connected that it wasn't just like, let's get on and talk about the thing I pay you to do the most, you know?
You know what occurred to me just now, Cody, is that I think this whole concept came from the earliest days of the table group. And what we did is we went out and became cousins to our clients. We went out and this is, we talk about this in Getting Naked, but it's like, you want to be so frank and so committed to your clients that they see you like you're part of the company. I used to say like really close cousins, because there was a time in the early days when all we did was consulting, when we could walk into any of our clients at any given time and pretty much just walk into any meeting and sit down. And they're like, hey, how's it going, Pat? Okay, here's what we're talking about, right? And it felt like we weren't part of the immediate family, but we were allowed to come to all the events and just kind of pop in. And so we had a very good experience of being within the moat of other people's castles. And so when we started working with more and more vendors, we were like, let's just treat them like they're part of us. And it wasn't to reduce the costs of our benefits, because certainly there's times when we've said to people, why don't you work for us? And they're like, oh no, this is much better for me. So it's sometimes just so mutually beneficial. And that is one of the things that we learned early on that I think that's probably where this came from now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm. I think that now that we have working genius language, I think that we create some of that relationship when we trust people to use their genius and we invite them to do work in their genius. We had some folks out here doing some video work for us, and they were just very, very good at their job. And it was so helpful knowing the genius that they have and to be able to put that to work. One of them is the geniuses of enablement and tenacity. And another one had the geniuses of galvanizing and tenacity. And it just gives you this piece of, oh, I want them to do that work. I want them to get to galvanize and enable and tenacity this video project. And they trust our discernment. And it just felt like we're getting to put that to work and maximize the benefits of our geniuses and borrow theirs.
Right. And if we have just a small portion of time where we need those geniuses, it's much better for them that they get to go use that genius for 10 different clients than it is to work within our castle or in our company and us not to be able to put them to good use. So to me, it makes more sense financially and in terms of their joy and energy for them to be inside the moat, but not in the castle. And I think, though, without knowing their working genius, it's hard to understand what that might be.
So beyond working genius, how do you evaluate those that are inside the moat versus those that are outside the moat? Are you guys are we values aligned? Like, how do you evaluate that?
Well, I think the standards for their core values is you can have a little bit more flexibility for people. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you, when we're talking about this, we have to compare this to the standard organization. And when I think of the standard organizations I've worked with in my life and worked in, sometimes the very people that actually live in the castle don't actually have an emotional connection or a values alignment with the company. And I honestly believe that many of these people that work outside the castle, but inside the moat, to keep using that analogy, often they feel a greater sense of connection than many people who are employees feel to the companies where they work for. But I will say this. You can have an employee, or I should say a cousin, somebody inside the moat, who doesn't align perfectly with the same values that your employees would, but they can be really wonderful cousins. You don't have to agree on everything in your core values, but there's enough of a connection there where it's a good fit and it makes sense. So there is a delineation. And if we tore down the castle and we just all lived on the moat, then not having that clear delineation would probably make it confusing. Does that make sense?
It does.
Totally. As you asked that question, Tracy, definitely the values, if you go back and think like, oh, they're at least cousins and they share enough of the values to be cousins and maybe not quite enough to make the jump into the castle. The other thing that occurred to me as we're having this conversation is it also boils down to some trust building. You know, like I think that when we're unique maybe in this, and I would imagine there's some listeners like, hey, there's some people out there that are outside the moat. How would we bring them in? And I think taking time to build trust. So often, I think, especially in if it's a contractor or vendor type relationship, we go right to the, okay, well, here's the agreement and here's what we're going to deliver. Here's our deliverables for you guys. And very regularly, we spend the first meeting talking about like ranking our Humble Hungry Smart with them. Like, hey, tell us about who you are and where does Humble Hungry Smart land for you? Or we've even done personal histories exercise with people inside the moat. And so I do think that there's some level of, it really would be strange to have people inside the moat who don't have a higher degree of trust than those outside the moat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we get to know them intimately. We really do. We pour into them pretty much like we would an employee. And as a result, I mean, it really does, because we have a very small company, but a very large group of people that we feel are part of what we do. And like, we even try to do that with like, we have all these people that are certified. And so we have these 2,500 people that are certified. We want to pour into them a lot because really they're the best marketing we have for Working Genius. And they give us the best ideas and they like being part of us and we like being part of their world. And so it is one of those kind of situations where if we only looked at this from you're either an insider or an outsider and that it was transactional, everybody would be really missing out, I think.
You know, it's interesting too, Pat, you think about like, so many people are so worried about their net promoter score as it relates to their customers, you know, and we don't often think of it as it relates to what we're like to work with as a vendor, you know, like, so you could even like, you want the people inside the moat to, if they ever decide they need to leave for any reason, to when they're running into the other people in their space to be like, oh, they're great to work with. We love them. They were invested in our success. Mm-hmm. They made us feel like part of the team. There's sort of like a net promoter score for the people in that moat, and that can even attract more and more talent to serve your business.
Yeah, it's funny. They have that survey that says the best companies to work for. I think it'd be kind of interesting to do the best companies to work with. Mm-hmm. You know, that you're not an employee there, but you feel included and you like to work with them.
Yeah, before we hit record, Pat, you said, this is kind of a conversation about your company is not what you think that it is. And I wonder if the default for most leaders is, oh, I need to get the castle bigger. And that's not your default, Pat. And Tracy, as our CFO, that's not your default either. You seem to think, oh, let's make sure that we can create space for people who aren't in the castle to still be close by. Is that true? Is that how you think about that?
Yeah. What would you say, Trace?
Yeah, I would say that freedom is really important to us. And I think it always has been. And that freedom goes both ways.
Mm-hmm. Right. We still have a drawbridge and a moat. So it's not like anybody just wanders in and can camp out there, you know. But the idea is, I think if anything, we are expanding, we keep tearing down the moat and building a little bigger because we meet so many wonderful people that we want to be part of our family, our ecosystem, and we want to give them the freedom to come and go. So they have the key code to the drawbridge, if you will.
Key code to the drawbridge. I like that. I'd like to see a castle with both a drawbridge and a ring doorbell.
I'm just going to say this because people can't see. We're not on video quite yet, but I think when Bo said before we hit record, Pat, I saw Pat's face go, oh no, have we not hit record yet? But you were talking about in advance of, in preparation to the podcast. I was like, oh, I had the same reaction. I was like, oh, we're not recording now? This is good. We should record this.
That's fantastic.
That's right.
As you were describing this earlier in the conversation, Pat, you said the word generosity. And I just wonder if there's anything else to say about that, about a generous kind of relationship that goes both ways.
Yeah, I think we talk about this in the book Getting Naked too, which could apply to this way as well. I think that the best relationships in business, and they do exist, is when customers are they believe, like, I think I should pay you more for what you do for me. And the company they're buying it from says, oh gosh, I was thinking that you were overpaying us. So you're getting enough value. They're like, oh my gosh, we're getting so much more value than you know. And both sides are actually more concerned about the other person being treated fairly than about themselves. And that's how conscientious, high integrity business ought to be, is that we would be much more worried about underpaying our vendors and not being generous with them. And they would be mortified to not give us the service that we want. And so we're totally concerned about one another. And I really think that's where the win-win comes, is that everybody is trying to do their best to satisfy the other. And a lot of that just has to do with your outlook on what a vendor, partner, employee, customer is.
You mentioned this example a minute ago, Pat, but one of my favorite partners that we have is folks who are certified in Working Genius. And they are out in the field gathering insights about Working Genius and sharing that back with us. And we do virtual events for those folks to be able to share insights from us to them that are not available to the public. And it's just such a beneficial relationship for me personally to have that community out there engaging in workshops and coaching leaders and sending us notes. And it's one of my kind of sneaky favorite parts of working at the Table Group, is this tribe of people carrying this message and doing that work out there.
Yeah. You know what just occurred to me? We have 50 consultants around the world who are even, they're in their own category of like outside the castle and inside the moat. And we've been working with them for decades now. And even they're all independent contractors and they do their own stuff and they run their own businesses. But I think sometimes we forget, like, oh yeah, they're not even technically employees. Yeah. But we love on them and want them to do well and know them really well. I think this is just a great way to do business. I think there should be a lot more small companies with really big connections and footprints. And I love the fact that the people we get to work with, the vendors and partners, have their own businesses. They feel a sense of entrepreneurial spirit and they don't feel like they're dependent on anyone. They're like, I have my own business. I'm a business owner and I get to feel like I'm part of something bigger. I've always been depressed when I see that a company acquires another company and I think, oh, there's more employees. They're going to feel that much further removed from the heart of the business. And when a big company acquires another big company, I think there's a lot of job misery that's coming down the road.
So Pat, this thinking is very countercultural. This is not common, I would say, in business. What advice do you have for people out there kind of living in a more traditional mindset?
Yeah, I think it's becoming more common, but I think it needs to be embraced. I think that people need to realize that, like, an employee could leave your organization and stay relatively close to it and still add value. Like, so if an employee says, gee, I have a dream of starting my own business, sometimes it can be, yeah, do that and stay on this side of the moat sometimes and be with us. And instead of feeling like you're being rejected, you can actually help them acquire to, you know, conquer their goals or their dreams, or realize their dreams, I should say, and at the same time, help them feel part of what you're doing. I think the government has to really understand this too, because if they think that businesses only use employees as contractors or vendors because they're trying to take advantage of them. I remember I just heard this thing the other day, like Uber and Lyft in California, they were going after the drive, you know, like, oh, they have to pay them benefits, which meant that those companies were just going to disappear because they Uber and Lyft couldn't possibly do that. Well, their employees were like, no, I like working 15 hours a week. I like having the freedom of doing this on my own. Please don't put me out of business because you think you're protecting me from a company that's taking advantage of me, when it's really a company that's allowing people freedom to make money and do their own work.
You know, Pat, I'm not going to steal your origin story, but as you were saying that, I was like, oh, that's actually what you did to start the Table Group, right? You got offered a job to do sort of what you do now for an organization. And you said, hey, I still want to do that for you, but I want to do it on my own accord with some of these other folks. And that was the origin story of even where we work today.
That's true. And I want to thank Jennifer. Jennifer Konechny Costa is her name, dear woman. And she said, yeah, you can work with us. Why don't you just, we'll be your first customer. And that changed my life, Tracy's life, all of our lives, and allowed, and we got to work with her company. We got to work with, and it was just fabulous. And thank you, Jennifer, for doing that. I had forgotten all about that, Cody. So we want to encourage more people to build a bigger landmass around their little castle. Let other people take part in that. You remember the word company, the word itself in Latin comes from compagnie, to break bread. So the idea here is let's break bread with lots of people. It doesn't really matter what their specific definition is or their legal status. Let's embrace more and more people as being part of our company. All right. Okay, I have to do the unpaid advertisement today.
I'm thankful it's not Bo. So go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do, so it's football season and we did our football episode. We got a lot of great comments back. But there's a show called The Red Zone that's on the NFL channel, or it's a separate channel where you can watch pretty much every game at once on Sundays. And they cut to whoever scoring touchdowns. And they have this guy, Scott Hansen, who's been on there for 15 years. In a weird sort of way, there's a zillion people in the world, men and women both, but a lot of men, who know that, feel like they know this guy intimately, because for 17 weeks of the season, they spend 7 hours with him while he shows them all the different games. And so I'm just going to do an unpaid ad for The Red Zone. It allows a lot of people to watch football. Not that we should watch 7 hours of football on a Sunday, but he's become a part of people's lives. And I actually did one of those cameo things this week for my son's 21st birthday, Casey. And Scott Hansen sent my son the most amazing video wishing him a happy birthday. And it just, awesome. It was really in connecting with him. So my unpaid ad is for The Red Zone and Scott Hansen. And for all those women out there who are pissed off because their husbands watch The Red Zone because they know who this guy is, I apologize. I have 4 sons and we're really in debt to that channel and that guy. So
that
is my, you know them, right, Cody?
Way better than the Oxford comma, Pat. I think Bo and I agree on The Red Zone.
Is The Red Zone one of those documentaries you claim to have watched?
They should do a documentary about The Red Zone. Tracy knows who he is too, because we did fantasy football this year. And so now Tracy's came to work this morning and said,
"Oh, I'm
I
in
can't
it.
Believe my husband talked me into dropping this wide receiver. I lost 30 points." So it's so fun to see the ladies in our office getting mad about football like we do. Alrighty. Well, hey, thanks for joining us, everybody. We will look forward to talking to you next time on At the Table. God bless.